I do want to remind you, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, the Senate voted unanimously to approve $70 billion for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The funding is part of a $448 billion record-high Pentagon budget. It includes nearly $23 billion to repair and replace military equipment that has been worn out. It also provides $1 billion for body armor and other protective gear for the troops. Since the September 11th attacks 5 years ago, Congress has approved $507 billion for the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and heightened military-based security overseas. In Washington today, President Bush said those who believe the war in Iraq has made the United States less safe are, quote, buying into the enemy's propaganda, which states that the terrorists are attacking us because we are provoking them, end quote. A new book by author Bob Woodward says President Bush's top advisors had a tendency to dismiss the assessments from top American military leaders in Iraq as being, quote, too pessimistic. Also, Woodward reports there were two efforts by Bush advisors to remove Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld from his position. However, they were overruled by President Bush. In Baghdad, the brother-in-law of the new judge in Saddam Hussein's genocide trial was shot to death. His son was also wounded in that shooting. In Bangkok, newspaper reports say the newly appointed civilian government will be headed by a former general who must receive formal public approval by the king before the announcement is made public. Japan's new prime minister, Shinzo Abe, is pledging to reduce tensions with China and South Korea and make Japan a decisive force on the international stage. At the United Nations, it appears the South Korean foreign minister will likely be the next secretary general. In an informal poll, he had a wide lead over six other candidates, vying to be the successor of Kofi Annan, who leaves the position at the end of the year. On Capitol Hill last night, the Senate agreed to go forward on a final vote on the construction of a 700-mile border fence to control illegal immigration on the U.S.-Mexico border. The final vote is expected tomorrow. Earlier this month, the House passed its own version of the bill. And a Florida congressman submitted his resignation later today after emails he sent to a 16-year-old former Capitol Hill mail page were revealed. The representative says there was nothing inappropriate about the correspondence. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
New federal restrictions on the sales of non-prescription decongestants begin tomorrow to halt the illegal production of crystal meth, which can be commonly made with the ingredients. The Iranian-American who paid $20 million to fly in space aboard a Russian Soyuz rocket has returned to Earth after a week-long trip, which included a stay at the International Space Station. The Commerce Department reports that in August, inflation sped up to its fastest pace in 11 years. The Indian government reports their economy grew at an 8.9% rate in the second quarter of 2006. India's economy, led by a manufacturing boom, is now growing faster than even China's economy. In Los Angeles, the landmark Capitol Records Tower will be sold by EMI to a New York developer for $50 million. Toshiba announced the recall of 830,000 Sony-made laptop computer batteries. So far, 7 million Sony batteries have been recalled by various computer makers worldwide. Daimler Chrysler is reported to be near a final agreement with a Chinese automaker to sell their subcompact cars in the U.S. Light sweet crude settled at $62.90 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today and near the close of Wall Street this week. The Dow is down 40 points, the Nasdaq is down 12, the S&P 500 down 3. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon. Top of the day to you. It is Friday, the last Bruce Birch radio program that you will hear before October. September the 29th is the date today. Glad to be back with you again this afternoon. We had a bit of a row yesterday over the torture bill and what happened there. Well, you know, it did pass, and you're probably very well aware of that. It did pass, 65 to 34. 12 Democrats crossed the party lines to vote in favor of this bill. I don't have those names right in front of me. I took a look at them last night. You know, nothing really surprising, although I had hoped that at least those Democrats, most of those Democrats would have voted against it. But apparently for reasons that have yet to be revealed, they decided that they needed to vote for the bill. For instance, in West Virginia, Jay Rockefeller voted for the bill. Robert Byrd voted against it. So, you know, who knows exactly what the reasoning was all behind that. But I'm sure we can get into that a little bit later. Also, now if you want to get in on the show today, as you heard at the top of the hour, the telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. Or if you can't remember that, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That'll get you into the studios of the Head On Radio Network, where Zach will take your call. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. B-U-R-C-H is the last name, bruce@brucebirch.com. And I also have a blog site where I blog every day for the show at brucebirch.com, in addition to the blog that is up on headonradionetwork.com about this today's show. Now, today's show, we will have Heather Wokush on to talk about the October surprise at later, a little bit later on in the program. And we'll also have Sansara Taylor on from World Can't Wait to tell us about all of the actions that are going to be going on nationwide on October the 5th in opposition to the Bush administration. Interestingly enough, though, I wanted to sort of get this off, just wanted to share this with you before we get too far into the radio program, that, you know, yesterday's action and yesterday's events you know, while some people that, you know, I've talked to some folks today, and everyone has said to me, well, it's not surprising that this happened. And although some were outraged, including myself, and a number of people were very saddened by the events of yesterday as far as the passage of that detainee bill, that torture bill, you know, the biggest thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, while we, on the left, lose some of the battles, overall, in this nation, the progressives have been able to pretty much gather strength and create progressive change over a period of time. I find it to be a challenge. And, you know, I probably one day next week, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure if it's going to be Monday. It may be Monday. But one day next week, I'm going to do a show and get away from the political topics directly, unless something really heinous jumps off, and talk a little bit about, in my view, how to disconnect some from this and not let the insanity that this Bush administration presents to us on a daily basis, and talk about how we can detach from some of that and still retain the hope and the desire for progressive change, and not be not end up being too extinguished, if you will, from defeats that such as we suffered yesterday. Because to me, this is a long battle. This is not something we're going to win overnight. And the reality is that it may go on for decades. Now, do you have the stamina for that? And if you don't, perhaps, you know, maybe you want to look into some way to figure out how to gather the stamina, because the reality is that we've got, they've done an incredible amount of damage in the last 5 years to our country, in our international standing, in our safety, as has been evidenced by the leaked national intelligence estimate. You know, there's a lot that we have to do to repair, not only internally but also externally, and that will take a long time to do. And that will only begin once we can win back the Congress and win back the White House and place progressives on the Supreme Court. You know, so, and that may be, you know, folks, the reality is, we're going to gain the control of the Congress this fall, but it may be several years or even 5 years or more into the future, you know, that we're able to do some of these things. So we've got to sit back for a moment, I think, and we've got to sort of take a look at the long-range battle plan. I don't even want to use military terms for this. The long-range strategy for how we can win back the hearts and minds of America. Because at one time, the Democratic left pretty much controlled this country and created a number of wonderful things. Social Security, you know. There was a time when this country was very much friendlier toward labor than it is today. There was a time when, you know, we protected our environment a little bit better than we're doing now. And I think we can return to that, but it's going to take some time, and it's going to take some strategizing, and it's going to take some putting some heads together and saying, okay, you know what, if we end up responding to every single thing that the right throws our way, then we're playing defense when we need to be playing offense. Okay? The right is playing offense. They are tossing every issue that they can our way in hopes that we will react to it. The immigration issue, which I believe personally is going to rear its ugly head one more time before the election, is one of those. The detainee bill was one of those. And you know, reacting to these issues over and over and over and over and over again keeps us busy, keeps MoveOn.org busy with having us call our senators and always defending something. But, you know, in the middle of all that defending, we're not moving forward. We're just sort of standing still or losing ground. So, you know, I just think that we've got to really sort of take a look at that. And maybe, and I'm thinking next week, you know, that I'll probably will do a show on preserving the progressive spirit, because I believe that's extremely important for us to do that. I'm going to tell you, we got a caller on the line, but what I want to do, Zach, is let's go ahead and take a break first, and then we'll come back and we'll take your phone calls at 1-877-443-2366. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. Welcome. Glad you're here. I'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the president of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
That's right. Sometimes I do feel tied to the whipping post. And today, actually, you know, it's been one of those days because of all the energy and the drama surrounding all of that yesterday. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who feel very emotionally drained about the events of yesterday. So let's do what we do. Let's do conversation radio. Let's go right over to the phone lines at 1-877-443-2366. Jim is joining us from an undisclosed location. Jim, how are you doing this afternoon?
Pretty good, Bruce. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Good. You know, we may have lost the battle, but we haven't lost the war. But I want to direct your attention to something. I don't know if you received it or not, but this is under the byline of "They cry, praise the bush, you wash out the devil, welcome to Jesus camp."
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with this movie, this documentary?
Yes. Those people are they're pretty far out there, aren't they, Jim?
Well, it says here the children at the Kids on Fire summer camp are intent as they pray over a cardboard cutout of President George Bush. They raise their hands in the air and sway, eyes closed, as they join the chant for righteous judges. Tears stream down their faces as they are told that they are phonies and the hypocrites must, and they must wash their heads in bottled water to drive out the devil. And the documentary film Jesus Camp follows three children at the Kids on Fire Pentecostal summer camp at the small city of Devils Lake, North Dakota. I've never seen such a thing in my life.
They give the religious right a bad name, don't they?
Well, I mean, you know, it's really and it's the Traverse Film Festival in D.C. It won the award for the festival's scariest film.
Really?
I mean, these people are absolutely the equivalent.
And they're serious, Jim.
I know.
They're serious.
I mean, they are basically the Christian version of these madrasas that you find in the Middle East that are teaching these people to go and kill and do things like that.
You're exactly right. They are. And I read about this, I think it was several days ago, but the woman who is the pastor running the camp,
mm-hmm.
the Reverend, I can't recall her name, but anyway, she was talking about
Fisher.
How she was raising these kids to take up violent action.
Right, exactly. And it's
now, where in the Bible, Jim? Now you're a fairly religious guy, right? Where in the Bible does it say that you're supposed to raise up kids to take on a violent action against people that disagree with you?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
I didn't think it did.
Pastor Fisher says that at one point in the film, she goes to tell the children, mostly aged from 7 to 12, "This is a sick old world, kids. You've got to change things. This means war. Are you part of it?" That's her message to these young kids, and it's really.
I'd like to see someone follow some of these kids around and do a longitudinal study on them and find out how they turn out about 15 to 20 years from now, and how many of them are actually in therapy, you know. And this is, I would call this, Jim, I would call this emotional abuse.
I would too. I mean, this isn't right. I mean, this is contrary to any Christian teaching that I've ever encountered in my life. And I just was absolutely appalled when it was sent to me today. And it came, well, today's the 29th, so it came out on the 29th. And it came from, this came from The Guardian in the United Kingdom vis-a-vis San Francisco.
Okay.
But
I know there was a copy of it.
I don't know if you have it, but if you'll open it and read it, you'll see all the particulars. But apparently you knew all about it then.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There were some scenes that were leaked. I think if you go to, I'm thinking it's Crooks and Liars, and go back a few days, there were some scenes that were posted where you could actually watch some of the movie that this filmmaker made of this camp. And I got to tell you, I mean, if this is the wave of the future for Christian camps, see, what scares me, Jim, is that I know that that kind of segment of the Christian population is in the far, far minority. Okay.
Yeah, they are.
But my fear is that something like this will actually become a popular thing and become popularized, and parents start sending their kids to a camp like this, not really fully knowing exactly what is all, what it's all about.
Well, they're trying to proselytize now, very much so. And as a matter of fact, some of these very same people had influence on the daughter of a friend of mine in San Francisco, and they kept her for 2 days, and they kept those kids going from 7 in the morning to 11 at night. And the mother didn't realize exactly what was going on, and she had quite a row with these folks.
I bet.
And they were trying to basically brainwash her daughter. And, you know, and it was the mother who sent this to me, my good friend Davey, who lives in San Francisco. But, I mean, I thought this might be worthy of your attention, but you know about it. And also, you might want to take a look at commondreams.org.
Huh.
And
it's an excellent site. I read essays from there all the time. As a matter of fact,
okay.
Here in about 5 minutes, one of the essayists from Common Dreams will be on the show to talk about the October surprise.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, you've got your plate full, and I'm going to leave you where I found you. So,
Jim, before you go though, I did want to. There's one more thing I wanted to sort of comment about this, and that is that, you know, I have children myself that are of the age that, I have a couple that are teenagers and one that's younger.
Uh-huh.
And they have, on occasion, gone to, like, a Baptist church or something like that with one of their friends, you know, on a Sunday because they stayed overnight with them the night before, et cetera. And, one of the things that I really have a tough time with is the way that some of the youth ministers can latch onto the kids who are brand new to the church. And I mean, I had this one guy who was calling here, you know, he's in his probably maybe 22 or 23 years old, but he was calling my house 3 times a day trying to get a hold of my daughter. And, you know, finally I just said, look, if you call anymore, this is called stalking, man. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Because it really, and that's kind of common. I mean, that's a kind of a common thing. So I guess it's really troubling to me, first of all, this Jesus camp thing. But I think there's a whole other angle to that where they really are trying to latch onto the youth while their minds are impressionable and scare the bejesus out of them.
Well, you know, when I was a boy, ages of 10 to 16, I would go to camp every summer for 10 weeks. My parents wanted to get rid of me. And they sent me to a place called Ridgecrest, which is run by the Southern Baptist, but it's an interfaith camp.
Uh-huh.
And we never had anything like this.
Right.
I mean, I climbed every mountain in North Carolina, Bruce. It's located at Black Mountain, and they have
at Camp Montreat.
Well, near there, yeah, right. And, of course,
Rockmont, I'm sorry.
Right, and between Ridgecrest and Canoga and stuff like that, you know, I had a lot of retreats and things like that when I was growing up, but I mean, even the Southern Baptists never tried anything like this then.
Right.
This was back in the late 50s.
And well, things have definitely changed. You know, they really don't seem to be. Well, you have the two versions. You have the sort of the old guard Baptist churches that are very like the First Baptist Church of whatever, and then you have some the independent fundamental churches that tend to be much more in your face about what they're doing.
Yes, very radical people. But anyway.
Oh, by the way, Jim, you can see the trailer of the movie at www.JesusCampTheMovie.com.
Really? This was made 2 years ago, but it was just brought to my attention. And, you know, when people are praying over a cardboard cutout of George Bush and he's their icon, that just absolutely blows my mind. And well, listen, I thank you, and I wish you a very pleasant weekend and a good show for the remainder of the period.
Thank you so much, Jim, and I hope you do the same, okay?
All right, buddy. Out here.
All right. That's our good friend Jim coming to us from an undisclosed location located somewhere in the northern hemisphere. We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll come back. We'll have Heather Wokeshon to talk about, and I'm hoping I'm saying her name right, and I'm sure she'll correct me if I'm wrong. Heather Wokesh, who will be on to talk about the October surprise. She's the author of The Progressive's Handbook. Very interesting. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have her on. And, yep, this is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bruce Birch. We'll be right back.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Right, we're back in from the storm. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program, radio for those who exist on the more progressive side of things, where you know, I could give you all the taglines that I've memorized, but I won't. Joining us now on the line is Heather Wokush, who is an author and a journalist and a teacher, and she has her master's degree in clinical psychology and has more than 20 years of experience in education. She currently works as a journalist, educator, and cross-cultural trainer. sharing her life with her husband Norbert and their four cats. She's the author of the Progressive's Handbook, Volumes 1 and 2, and also the author of a recent article on commondreams.org in which she talks about the October surprise. Heather, welcome to the radio program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, am I saying your last name correctly? Is it Wokush?
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's actually like a V, Wokush.
Oh, Wokush. Okay, close. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me.
No, it's spelled with a W, but you say it with a V. Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, Heather, let's sort of get into the meat of this thing. It seems like every election, at least for the last three or four cycles, there's been maybe even longer than that. There's been this fabled October surprise that seems to want to sway the voters one way or the other. Can you give us some insight about, what we can expect this time around?
Yeah, and, the interesting thing is that there have been reports that Karl Rove has been bragging to Republican insiders about this year's October surprise, aimed, of course, at keeping the Republicans in office. And so it isn't just, hearsay. He basically is saying that this thing is going on. And so the point of the article was, okay, well, what could his potential plans be? And, the bottom line, as we have seen in the past, is it involves fear and, backing the U.S. public into a corner. And so the point of this article is that we need to be more proactive in not falling for this stuff again. It's like trick or treat. Here I am, And so we need to just not do that this year. So some of the things that I talked about that have been done in the past and might, be done again. The whole thing about bin Laden, they recently said that he maybe died from typhoid. But as you recall, they also said he died before the 2002 congressional elections. And so, it might, bumping him off might score some easy, bonus points for the Republicans, but are we really going to fall for that again? So that's one example. Another, of course, the most horrifying example, and we can see this in many different areas, is that maybe they could be attacking Iran.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Based on what you've been reading and what you've been following, how likely is that?
Well, I mean, just the information that's out there for all of us, it really is not looking very good. I mean, both Time and The Nation have reported that there is an armada of warships on the way, including a nuclear aircraft carrier. And the interesting thing is they will arrive off Iran's coast just right around October 21st. So right, before the election, a couple of weeks. And, Seymour Hersh has said that they already are conducting activities inside Iran. Also, retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner also has been saying a lot that there are preparatory military operations inside the country. And so it seems really quite clear that, there is some buildup. The question is if they could actually be that stupid, because the impact, would be so incredibly devastating for us. I don't know if you know, but the Iranian military had these massive war games just last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, they showed they are armed and they are ready and they've got their, missiles and what have you. So that's only one, way that they could fight back. But as I wrote in the article, Hezbollah would be activated. Iraq, my goodness, what would happen there? It already is a crisis. The world's oil supply, is another issue. And, of course, they could, there's that little Strait of Hormuz. This is this really narrow kind of little bottleneck that the supply of oil goes out to the West. Yeah, put some, mines in there, and then we really are going to be facing a difficult winter, as far as the oil. So any reasoned person would think, well, of course, they couldn't possibly do that. But, this is really a goal for Bush, and he wants to get his final, crusade against Ahmadinejad done. And, they might be reasoning that, well, after November, they just won't be able to have this rubber-stamped Congress anymore, so might as well try to push it through now. I mean, who knows?
Well, and I think that's something that I actually, you know, was mentioning in the lead into the show today was that, you know, this may very well have been this bill, the series of bills yesterday, including the detainee bill, may have been the last hurrah as far as legislation goes. And you know, it's really interesting because this president can put all these forces out there in the field, and what in it, you know, and you know, implement them into some sort of exercise there, and you know, let's say that the Democrats take control of the House of Representatives and the Senate, what are they going to, you know, what can they do? You know, this is the commander in chief of the armed forces, and he's put these, you know, that, you know, he's basically painting them into a corner.
Yeah, but, you know, there is this House resolution, I think it's 391, that will stop Bush from attacking Iran without congressional approval. I mean, that would be one place to start. The interesting thing is, as we saw also with this whole, you know, farce with the torture and the enemy combatant and all of this that just happened, the Democrats really are not stepping up to the plate and fighting. It's as if they're kind of sitting, you know, on the sidelines and trying to see what will happen. So the question is, even if we do get, you know, Democrats, you know, back, as you said, how much are they willing to fight against this march towards war? That's a very good point and a very kind of frightening question.
That's the $64,000 question, isn't it?
Yeah. I wrote an article last week about talking about the potential testing of military weapons on U.S. citizens. It was called Rumsfeld's Guinea Pigs. And my point in that one is it really comes down to we U.S. citizens. You know, if we allow our government to pull out of arms control agreements and just spend billions and billions on weaponry, and if we allow ourselves to live in a mindset of fear and perpetual war, then we really can't be surprised when that war and those weapons are turned against us. This is a case with, you know, saying that legal U.S. residents now can be indefinitely, you know, detained, but also just the fact that we would sit by and kind of wait to see what little tricks, you know, are going to be played on us in October. I really believe that we have more power than that.
Well, I think we do too, and I think, but I also think, Heather, that you know, I agree with you in that in one sense, and in another sense, I think I want to take it to a different level, and that is that there are those on the right who are very politically active and pay attention to all the stuff that you and I pay attention to, and there are people on the left who pay attention to all the stuff that's going on, but then there's that middle ground of folks who really don't pay attention to anything unless they see it once a week on the news on Sunday evening or something. And are those the people that they're trying to target with the October surprise, or is it actually, you know, the rest of us too?
Well, I think that pretty much across the board, they've gotten away with it. And so, you know, whether we've been able to acknowledge what the October surprise is, really, they haven't gotten much resistance from anybody, you know, in the past. The one thing that I said in this article I thought was very interesting, even Congress, you know, in the weeks following 9/11, and they were fighting against the Patriot Act. Well, when those anthrax letters came, then they caved. They caved in. I mean, weeks later. An interesting thing was, again, even in February 2006, once again, they were resisting renewing the Patriot Act. But this nerve agent scare on Capitol Hill that led to the quarantine of 200 people also, you know, had Congress cave once again. And so even Congress is reacting to this fear of, you know, of attack. And how easily are we manipulated, you know, be it the people in the middle or the people on either side of the spectrum?
Well, you know, and it certainly just seems, you know, it just certainly seems too neat and tidy, especially, you know, with regard to the two incidents directly prior to the two versions of the Patriot Act being approved by Congress. You know, come on. You know what I'm saying? And at what point does the American people wake up and go, okay, we've been had?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is that nerve agent scare in February 2006, I knew in the back of my mind I'd heard about it, but I tell you, this took me hours and hours to actually find this source. And so we really aren't even being told about this stuff, you know, as you had alluded to before. And so that's part of the problem. You have to dig and dig even just to find that this kind of stuff happens. But, you know, another thing in this article that I found really interesting is the fact that some of the White House staff, primarily Cheney's area, had started taking an anthrax treatment drug a week before the first anthrax attacks. And, I mean, this was reported in the Washington Post and what have you. And, I mean, I find that a little bizarre, quite frankly. You know, and so what do these people know that they're not telling us, you know what I mean? And could they be knowing something now that would be happening in October and we once again are not being told? So this, it really raises a lot of serious questions.
How can we on the left who are, you know, who aren't going to be suckered in by such things as an October surprise, or when we see it, we'll know that's what it is. How can we combat this? I mean, how can we get the word out, or what can we do to try to, you know, keep this from having much impact?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question. I think, say, for example, for Iran, you know, on that level, because I believe that's really the most absolutely devastating, you know, potentially for our country, I would really try to support, you know, one's Congress members to pass this or to, you know, this thing, you know, that Bush cannot attack Iran without congressional approval. I mean, something as fundamental as that, I think the people really need to rise up and push for something like that, write letters to, you know, the hometown paper, write letters to one's representatives, what have you. But
What was the name of that bill again? What the number of that bill?
Yeah, it's Congressman Peter DeFazio did it, uh-huh. And it was Resolution 391.
391, okay.
Yeah, and I will give you a quote here. The sense of Congress that the president should not initiate military action against Iran with respect to its nuclear program without first obtaining authorization from Congress. That's quite something, you know. And, I mean, you can just look it up, the whole thing on the Internet. Now, this was just, you know, released pretty recently, and, you know, Congress is basically not doing much right now anyway. So I don't know how much chance this has to actually make it into, you know, some kind of official thing, but certainly we should be talking about this, and one's representatives should be pushing for something. So that's just the basics. But I think the bottom line is also, you know, really just understanding that it's destructive to live in a mindset of fear and to not allow ourselves to be backed into a corner into thinking that war is just inevitable. And again, we really have to remember that these wars are turned against us, ultimately. And so it's self-preservation, it's self-protection to be aware and also to fight back.
Now, you've actually written a couple of volumes of a book called The Progressive's Handbook. Is this a book that is a how-to on being a progressive, or is it, you know, tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been writing these opinion pieces for years, and I had so many readers write in and say, you know what, I'm just frustrated because these things are happening so quickly nowadays, and I feel powerless to do anything. And I don't really understand the full picture of what's going on. So I thought, okay, so what I did is I put together these two books, and there's another on the way, and it covers seven basic areas. For example, the first one covers U.S. weapons of mass destruction, women's issues, education, and mainstream media. And in each of those areas, there's like 30 pages saying exactly what has changed under Bush, and everything is completely sourced, 30, 35 pages. But then I figured, oh my goodness, once people read this, they're going to be totally depressed when they realize what's going on. So at the end of every single chapter, there's probably 5-6 pages of targeted action tips that each of us can do every day. You know, you got 10 minutes at night after you've put the kids to bed. Great. Here's something that you can do in whatever area you're most interested. Maybe you're totally interested in education, but not other things. And so that's volume one. And then volume two does exactly the same things, except it covers the areas of elections, environment, and foreign policy. So it's meant to inform people, but also to really empower people to realize that, you know, every single voice counts.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to see what I can do about picking the book up myself, because I'm really interested in reading some of the essays. Heather, would you be interested in taking a phone call?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. We do have Mitch on line one. Mitch, welcome to the radio program.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. Hello, Heather.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question, Heather, and I'm one of those left-wing radicals that you hear about all the time, you know. I'm one of these people that I worried the October surprise might be a reminder. You know, because you've been talking all about how... Wait a minute. I had you on speaker. Is that better? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I had you on speaker. I'm sorry.
Heather, can you hear him?
It's a little muffled, but pretty much, yeah.
Is that a little
better
now?
About the October surprise.
Okay, because you say we talk about how, you know, we're sort of prepared for it. You know, we you know, a lot of us are chances. You know, we see through the chances side. And the thing that really worries me is that Bush might think of the October surprise might be a reminder of why we should be afraid. I'm worried about another 9/11 in this country. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about. I'm not sure. I'm still not sure. 9/11 in New York. What was going on there? You know, I mean, I'm not. I don't know one way or the other. But I'm really worried that that could be the October surprise.
Well, yeah, Mitch. I mean, that's one of the theories. One, it could be some kind of domestic attack that the administration foils. Or, you know, another theory is that maybe there could be some domestic attack, period, and the administration says, okay, everything is just now really chaotic, and we need to really support the Republican Party. You know, that is a possibility. We certainly hope this isn't the case, but it's a possibility when you rule from fear.
Well, you know, I mean, this is what the world is created, you know, and all these stories, all these movies coming out about 9/11. I mean, here for a while, things, but you know, I mean, we have camps that have been built all the way across this country, concentration camps, basically just waiting for people to be put in them. Now we have, what happened yesterday. I mean, it seems like we're marching towards martial law and just some really horrible things coming up, you know. And I'm worried that another 9/11 attack, the people like us, will rise up, and well, for people that rise up, well, will the enemy combatants after that? I mean, tough line is in Gitmo, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we could be heading towards some, you know, 1984 scenario, but I think the point in the books that I'm trying to raise, and also in the articles, is it doesn't have to come to that, you know? We do even now have power. But yeah. But I understand your fear, Mitch. I do, but I am
right now. I mean, right now, it's come to that.
Mitch, I'm sorry. I'm having a really hard time hearing you.
Really positive things, and I thought maybe Bruce got into his kid's drug supply, you know? I mean, this was really horrible yesterday. This is a day to be mad, you know? And Heather, I mean, I appreciate what you have to say. I appreciate what you say. And I just wanted to bring that one thing up, and I'll start going off about on a tangent about something else. So I'm sorry to go off on that, but I just wanted to bring that one point up, okay?
Okay, I'm so sorry, Mitch. I had a really hard time hearing you. But the one thing that you're bringing up is the possibility of another attack. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's basically all I wanted.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, Mitch, you're not alone. A lot of people are talking about that, because would they be that desperate, you know, is one question. You're not alone in fearing that.
No, we've been fooled so many times. They might have to remind us, you know. Remember the old thing when you were a kid, you start to cry, and someone would say, I'll give you something to cry about. I think that's sort of Bush's mentality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you something to be afraid of. Anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks
but
so much,
hopefully,
guys.
Hopefully,
thank you.
On the part of the American public will help stop some of that. But, yes, I understand your fear.
Okay, and I'm going to hear most of what you have to say tomorrow, because it seems like I'm talking into an echo chamber. So, anyway, just so you know. Anyway, have a nice day, guys.
Okay,
thank you, Mitch. Well, and Heather, just to follow up on his comment, I think that there are, based on a lot of the folks that I've been talking to and who call into this program, there seems to be a very real fear that we are rapidly approaching, a very authoritative society, and it could be one event away from that. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, and the question is who would win from that, and clearly it's the people who are currently in power who would win, you know. And, you know, some things that are terrifying along those lines, you know, for example, they had the Brits arrest these alleged liquid, you know, bomb airline plotters too soon, you know. And so the whole idea that we are decreasing our national security in a way to get bonus points for the administration. So even if the danger did not come from, you know, the administration itself, the fact that, well, you know, this recent thing that said that the terrorist incidents have increased so much, you know, under the Bush administration, clearly due to the Iraq war. And so who knows who any attack could come from, but clearly we are heading the wrong direction as far as maintaining our national security, that's for sure.
Well, I would totally agree with that, and I would even follow that up by saying that, you know, there's a friend of mine who quotes the line "perpetual war for perpetual peace," and it's a complete oxymoron, you know.
Right. Oh, right. Exactly. But it makes me feel sad to have people think that there's nothing that we can do, because I think at that point, then they've won. You know what I mean? You strike the hearts and the soul, and if people feel that we just have to sit and wait and see what this horrible thing is, I think that's not productive. And I think it's, you know, we need to fight back that mentality within each of us and understand.
And how can we do that on a practical level? I mean, is this just when we're having conversations with our friends, if it comes up, we say, well, yeah, oh yeah, there'll be something, but it's not a big deal. We'll just keep going forward. I mean, what's a practical way to deal with that?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, Bruce. And I think, I'm a career educator, and so I always go to information. And so for me, the thing is just to sit down, you know, maybe with your friends or whatever, and think, okay, what could they be doing? Yeah, what could this October surprise thing be? And that's the point of this article, and say, okay, well, if it's this, then this is bogus because of X, Y, and Z. And if it's this, this is bogus because of blah, blah, blah. You know, and just get in one's own mind clear what this thing could be, point one. And then two, you know, if there's something, for example, like, you know, this entire possibility that we could be, you know, attacking Iran, then do something. You know, call one's representatives, as, you know, this Resolution 391, for example. But if it is, you know, the case of some kind of domestic attack or something of that nature, I mean, face it, there really isn't anything that you can do until this actually happens. But certainly what we can do is, if the administration says that there was going to be an attack and just magically their wonderful intelligence solved it, well, then certainly we can be a bit suspicious of that, given that it's right before the election. So The unfortunate thing is, to a certain extent, it's reactive, you know, depending on whatever this thing is. But to the extent that we can be proactive in at least anticipating or treating with a bit of, you know, skepticism, whatever it does happen, I think that we will be empowering ourselves.
Well, I totally agree with you. Now, very quickly, Heather, how can folks visit you online, and how can they get your book, and where can they find your articles?
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, I would really encourage, part of the books, as you mentioned, are called The Progressive's Handbook, but on the Progressive's Handbook site, and that's www.progressiveshandbook.com. On this site, I have something called an Action Center, and what I'm trying to do in this is just to give a place that people can go and feel kind of inspired and like things aren't so bad. So there's really cool quotes, and there's some links for ideas that we can do. And so I would highly encourage anybody listening to go visit the Action Center. And if you've got any ideas that you would like to add, then just send them into the site, and I will put them up. You know, for example, links that you find to be interesting, or you know, any action ideas that you think that people can take, something like that. So for that, I would highly invite you to visit the progressiveshandbook.com. I would also very much invite you to visit my site, and that's HEATHERWOKUSCH.com. And it has my articles there. But one thing I'm also doing is I'm doing, just started doing a weekly podcast. And so prefer having things downloaded, that's fine too. But anything that you can do that makes you feel empowered, I think, is a really important thing to be doing right now, and not to allow yourself to fall into the mindset of perpetual fear or perpetual war, because if we allow ourselves to do that, then they've won, and we can't let that happen.
Absolutely, and they can order the Progressives Handbook directly from the progressiveshandbook.com website, right?
Yeah, or my site, or Amazon. It's up on Amazon.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And there
Heather,
are excerpts
thank you.
And,
I'm sorry?
Pardon me. And there are excerpts and a table of contents and stuff like that on progressivehandbook.com. But thank you. I really, really appreciate being on. It's been great. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, the thing that we try to do here is to make sure that we get as much inspiration out there as we possibly can. And we'll be getting back in touch with you as time goes on. I think this is a wonderful conversation, and I certainly thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Have a wonderful
Bye.
Weekend.
Same to you. Bye.
And that was Heather Vokush from heathervokush.com. It's Heather, and that would be WOKUSCH.com. It is right at the top of the hour. We've got to take our news break, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be right back after the top of the hour news. This is the Bruce Birch radio program.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington today, President Bush admitted that there have been setbacks in Afghanistan, where the Taliban has regrouped and violence is rising. But he predicted victory ultimately against the terrorists. He also quoted recent comments made by British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who said, quote, "You do not create terrorism by fighting terrorism," end quote. On Capitol Hill today, the Senate voted unanimously to approve $70 billion for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The funding is part of a $448 billion record-high Pentagon budget. The Iraq war alone is costing about $8 billion a month to fund. So far, spending on the conflict in Afghanistan has totaled $97 billion, while the Iraq war cost has been $379 billion. A new book by author Bob Woodward says President Bush's top advisors had a tendency to dismiss the assessments from top American military leaders in Iraq as being, quote, too pessimistic. In Baghdad, the brother-in-law of the new judge in Saddam Hussein's genocide trial was shot to death today. His son was also wounded in that shooting. Also, CNN is reporting a strict curfew has been put in place in Baghdad, restricting auto and pedestrian traffic. The deputy leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, has released a video posted on the Internet today. He calls President Bush a, quote, failure and a liar, and condemns Pope Benedict XVI as a, quote, charlatan for his recent remarks about Islam. Two OPEC members, Nigeria and Venezuela, said in response to declining crude oil prices, they will voluntarily cut back on oil production. This decision will take about 200,000 barrels of oil a day off the market. On Capitol Hill last night, the Senate agreed to go forward on a final vote on the construction of a 700-mile border fence to control illegal immigration on the U.S.-Mexico border. Additionally, House and Senate negotiators last night agreed to a port security bill requiring radiation detectors to be installed at the country's ports. A Florida congressman submitted his resignation letter today after emails he sent to a 16-year-old former Capitol Hill male page were revealed. He said there was nothing inappropriate about the correspondence. And in Southern California, firefighters are making considerable gains fighting the month-long wildfire. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The California company at the center of the spinach E. coli outbreak is offering to pay the medical costs of the victims. So far, the outbreak has sickened 180 people and killed one person in 25 states. NASA is investigating why the main camera on the Hubble Space Telescope has unexpectedly shut down. It's the second time this year that the camera has malfunctioned. Toshiba announced the recall of 830,000 Sony-made laptop computer batteries. So far, 7 million Sony batteries have been recalled by various computer makers worldwide. The day after a congressional subcommittee held hearings into the Hewlett-Packard media spying scandal, the CEO of HP, Mark Hurd, told Fortune magazine he is not even considering stepping down from the company. Three of the directors, including a co-founder of the retailer J. Crew, announced they are leaving the company's board. The Indian government reports their economy grew at an 8.9% rate in the second quarter of 2006. Daimler Chrysler is reported to be near a final agreement with a Chinese automaker to sell its subcompact cars in the U.S. And in Los Angeles, the landmark Capitol Records Tower will be sold by EMI to a New York developer for $50 million. Light sweet crude settled at $62.91 a barrel today. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow was down 39 points, the Nasdaq down 12, the S&P 500 down 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
It's time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Bruce Birch Radio Program, being broadcast, netcast, worldwide on the Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com, and simulcast on radiopower.org. Thank you, Shelby LePre, for simulcasting this this radio program. You know, we've got a wonderful conversation we had with Heather there, pretty amazing stuff that she was talking about, and Mitch brought up a very interesting point as well, and that is, you know, we do, first of all, we have to be, I mean, you know, it's, I guess it's we need to come from the paradigm of, as Jim, I think, said it yesterday, expect the worst, hope for the best kind of thing, and also, you know, sit around and talk about it with your friends, you know, talk about the realities of what might happen should there be an attack on Iran next month, you know, or talk about the realities of what could happen should there be some sort of terrorist attack on this country that, oops, we let it slip by. Or, you know, or even, I mean, who knows what it could be? It could be something even much more mundane than that. And the reality is, folks, is that, you know, I'm not going to sit around on pins and needles and wait for this to happen. However, you know, I think it's important that we do start the conversation and start the dialogue about that, because, you know, if we don't, then, you know, then we're going to be taken, what, by surprise. And, you know, as I wrote in my show post today at brucebirch.com, I said that I would have Heather on to talk about Karl Rove and his not surprising October surprise. He has been going around to various conservative insiders and bragging, if you will, about the October surprise. And actually on some of the right-wing blogs that are out there, you can read about some of this stuff. Of course, he's not letting anybody know what it is, and that's okay. Because, again, this is not, you know, again, this sort of, you know, to be honest with you, this sort of puts us, again, in the position of playing defense when we need to be playing offense. And Heather had some wonderful ideas about that. And I do encourage you to go check out her book, Progressive's Handbook, because I think that there's some interesting ideas in those books about what each one of us can do on a local level and even a national level to help influence progressive and forward ideas. Joining me on the line right now is an old friend of the radio program. I think I had her on first. I think it was about this time of the year last year, October perhaps of 2005. She is affiliated with an organization called World Can't Wait, who is organizing a series of nationwide protests coming up in the next week or so. And Samsara Taylor, welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program.
Bruce, it's wonderful to be back. How have you been?
I have been fantastic. I love doing this, and I love getting making sure that there's at least one sane voice out there, even though there's a bunch on this network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to have you back. You know, you're one of my favorite guests.
Oh, thank you.
So,
well, you know, it's a crazy time. It's an insane time right now.
You know, I just wanted to commend you and commend World Can't Wait just for a moment, because you guys were way, way out in front on this whole torture thing. And I remember, you know, because of my own involvement in a local group about the tactic of you know, bringing the awareness of what's going on with torture to the passersby by wearing orange jumpsuits and putting a black hood over your head and handing a leash to someone. You know, yesterday's vote was just an atrocity. But it really has pointed us toward where this nation is heading, and I really would like to get your thoughts on it.
Well, honestly, Hitler never openly acknowledged Auschwitz and these kinds of horrors. I mean, it was obvious to anybody who was paying attention, and I'm not excusing the people who went along there, but I am trying to make a comparison where basically we've been told there's 14,000 people being held in detention, U.S. detention around the world right now, 14,000 people. And essentially what this has done is this law that was signed yesterday, that was passed through the House yesterday, is a fascist law. I mean, there's no way around it. It gives the executive a world-class proven liar, not about small things, about huge things that cost 100,000 Iraqi lives, 27,100 U.S. soldiers' lives. This guy is a proven liar around Katrina, around the NSA spying, around the war, around big things, and it gives him the right to point his finger at anybody and disappear them off the streets, never notify their families, never tell them what they're charged with, never even have to press charges, give them no right to legal redress, and enable them to be tortured. Tortured in perpetuity. And this is being done openly, it's being done legally. And I think that this is really a defining moment in for the character of the people of this country and for the question of what kind of future we're gonna have and what kind of future we're gonna force on the planet. And I think that there is tremendous responsibility in this moment for people to resist. And this, in the way that you are indicating, I mean, on a certain level, this is shocking. On another level, it's something that could be foreseen if you look at the way that the Bush administration has operated since it's come to power. And this is why, for the last year, the World Can't Wait movement to drive out the Bush regime has put out the call for mass political resistance. And so we have protests planned for October 5th, and I hate to say that it's you know, well-timed with this bill, because there's no way that you want something like this to go down. But at the same time, it's, you know, it is something that we foresaw, and we are moving people, and calling on people to move others, because this is a time the Democrats just proved they are not going to stop this. They're going along with it. And it's really up to us to be out in the streets to resist, to reverse this direction, because history will judge us very sharply if we don't.
Well, you know, and that begs the question, Samsara, you know, what are you guys doing right now to mobilize those folks?
Well, what we've done is we put out a call all over the country, October 5th, for people to walk out of school, take off of work, and gather in protest. It's interesting because a lot of people, you know, they're skeptical that you know, a lot of people agree that the Bush administration, its moves towards theocracy, the torture, the wars, the lies, all of this is unjust, but they think that they're the only ones, or they think that most Americans are too satisfied and too happy and too distracted or even too supportive of Bush. And what we found is that, yes, that is actually true to a frightening extent, but there are a lot of people who are sickened, and they don't know how many of them, you know, even in their own neighborhoods and their own communities, feel the same as they do. So one of the things we did a couple weeks ago, we raised money for a full-page ad in USA Today, which we've put full-page ads in the U.S. and the New York Times before that really broadcast to, you know, millions of people, say, look, the world can't wait, drive out the Bush regime. October 5th, we're protesting, organize your area, get involved. But then we decided we had to go for USA Today, which reaches, it's the biggest circulation paper in the country. It costs something like $100,000 to raise the money for that ad. It's way outside of anything we have the capacity to do on our own, but we put this to people all over the country and said, who are in the chapters, and said, look, we need to raise this money because we need to reach people in the so-called red states, deep all across the country. And in 5 days, people had such enthusiasm and determination to raise that money that we came up with that money. I mean, I heard stories that were very moving. Folks in housing projects in Chicago who were threatened with eviction by the housing authority for putting out drive out the Bush regime signs up in their windows, but they kept organizing. They had a hot dog barbecue stand to raise money for this USA Today ad to reach the hinterlands. We had people, you know, calling their friends, emailing other people. We had high school students went to their school and raised $500 at one school. And you just had a really, you know, passionate response. And we put this ad out about 10 days ago. It reached all over the country. We had 50 protests planned when we put the ad in. A week later, we have 115, and it's growing each day.
Oh, my God. Because the last time I checked your website, which was, I want to say Wednesday, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, I saw that there were 80 scheduled. So now there's 115.
Yep.
Holy moly.
It's a good thing.
It's a fantastic thing. Now, and you know, I was just noticing of course I'm in North Carolina, and I checked my state, and I saw that there were actually 5 different actions planned for in the state of North Carolina, which I was amazed. I said, wow.
Yep.
So pretty much anywhere now, I would say almost anywhere, would be within driving distance of one of these actions, anywhere in the country.
Yeah, and Canada. Don't forget Canada. I've been very impressed. We have one in Geneva, Switzerland, and one in Canada. So there's people picking this up. I just heard we had a staff meeting here in our office this morning, and one of the women said that her daughter, who's in Spain, one of her friends sent her an email about the protests happening on October 5th, and they forwarded it to her. So I think it's zinging around there. But here's the thing. It's out there to a degree, and it's picking up momentum, but it's very urgent, you know, that people take this up. We have sort of our 5 days to go that we're asking people to really saturate with flyers, with, we have PSAs to download on our website, worldcantwait.org, and you can get them played on college radio or, you know, whatever radio. And the flyers, the audio, and different ways of email communication, because like we saw with the USA Today ad, there's a lot of people out there. And don't assume that just because they weren't with you, you know, 4 years ago or 2 years ago or 3 months ago or even last week. With each day, this administration alienates more people and reveals for more people how gruesome it really is. And I think we have to invite everybody right now. We have to urge everybody to get out on the streets with us. So we're saying, you know, stuff it under every person's door and car windshields. You know, leave these flyers around for people at worldcan'twait.org. You can find the call for the World Can't Wait. And we really think that there's a lot that can be done in 5 days if people really get out there and saturate their communities with this.
Okay, so, excuse me. We have, I was actually saying okay to my production guy. Sorry about that.
I say okay too.
Give me an example, if you can, of some of the smallest town or perhaps in the reddest state where you have some stuff going on.
Okay, well, we have one in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which I happened to drive through this summer when we were on our Red State bus tour. We have Little Rock, Arkansas, all kinds of places in Canada. We have, you know, I'm just scrolling through Mount Shasta. We have a bunch of places in Florida, which is kind of impressive. It's interesting because it is true. North Carolina, we have five or six protests. Florida, which was very contested but became one of the, you know, famous red states. We have Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, Fort Walton. There's a lot of forts in Florida. Leesburg, Florida, Orlando, Florida, Sarasota, Florida, Tallahassee, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Volusia County, Florida. I mean, you just go through. We have Hawaii, three protests in Hawaii, in Haley, Indiana. You kind of can just Granite City, Illinois. They're all over the place. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's very impressive.
This is fantastic. I'm hearkening back to the first protest or action that I was involved with you guys. That was back in November 3rd. I believe it was November 3rd.
November
2nd.
It was the one-year anniversary 2nd,
yeah.
of Bush's election, his re-election, yeah.
Yep. And, and it's just really amazing to see the growth that's happened with what's going on. On October 5th, now let's just, what kinds of, have you heard of any planned resistance to any of these rallies at all, or from authorities or from the powers that be?
Well, there were initially, and there still are to a degree, there's a lot of struggle over permits and being allowed to protest. And this is, of course, one of the big pillars of the Bush administration is the suppression of dissent, the criminalization of protest, and the watch what you say, you're with the Bush regime or you're with the terrorists, according to them. And that they try to, you know, I mean, it's been startling under their watch how protesters have been tracked across the country by the FBI. They've been shot at with supposedly non-lethal weapons. They've been unlawfully detained. They've been put on no-fly lists. They've been spied on by the NSA. So in keeping with that, initially San Francisco, they were denied a marching permit. In San Francisco, I mean, this is an insanity. They were told that it was, you know, a homeland security issue if they were going to march. Then, of course, you know, they mobilized the city to back them up, and, you know, the Board of Supervisors came out to support the World Can't Wait, Drive Out the Bush Regime protest, and the city actually and the police backed up and granted the permit. In New York, they are making a move to, you know, they wouldn't grant us, which 2 years ago every protest was, and for years and years, protests have been held in Times Square. You march down Broadway, and I know not everybody knows New York City, but Times Square is the heart of everything, and Broadway is the main artery that goes through the city, and we always march on that. Now they're no longer granting it to any protest, so we are gathering at the United Nations. We're marching down still a major street, but it's off to the side of the island and down to Union Square, which is the place we originally wanted to, the heart of the city as well. So there are things like this where they're pushing you, you know, to further side streets, and they pen you in, this kind of thing. But at this point, we're confident that we have secured permits in all the major cities, and I'm sure that there will be more that crops up as we go. But we're very confident that people can come out and need to come out. It actually underscores the need for people to come out and be visible and be massive numbers in the streets on this day. So, you know, we'll see what further develops.
Well, okay, and I guess, you know, the other thing, too, that I wanted to ask you is any estimate on the numbers of folks that this may involve around the country?
You know, that's a really good question. And it's really, it's hard to gauge. I feel that there's more, I think there was, you know, there was tens of thousands of people who participated in the last round of protests we did on the State of the Union. And I definitely, there's more momentum that you can feel around this, more buzz around it. But I do think a lot of it, like anything, it's a funny thing. You can build momentum on something for months in advance, but then it does come down to the last few days and how much does it catch on and go viral and spread. And so, you know, we've got a number of things we're planning to really take this up, you know, into high gear for the last 5 days. We've actually put out a call for people to take off work, you know, take 5 days off work, take 3 days off work next week. You know, if for those who can, you know, put the energy in now. If not now, when the government just codified torture, then when? And so we're calling on people, and I think a lot of people have responded to this here in New York. So, I mean, to answer the question, I hate to put a number out, and I really honestly can't even say, but I would put the question back to everybody listening, because I think this is on all of us in terms of, are we going to push and are we going to really make this a priority and get on the phone and spend the time calling people and asking them to call others and say, look, we have an obligation to the world's people and to the future to be in the streets right now. October 5th, it'll matter because people are doing it all over the country. Whatever you do that day will be amplified because it's happening all over the place. And it's become more conspicuous than ever that waiting for the Democrats is a logic of complicity, and it's a logic of being a good German. And there's just no excuse. I mean, I've just been stunned. I have to get this in there. I have been stunned by even the logic of the explanation of some of the Democrats on why they didn't filibuster. They say, oh, no, it'll be overturned in the Supreme Court. It's very unlikely that that would happen in the way they're describing, because Bush has set up this Supreme Court. You know, they're a Supreme Court that upholds the unitary executive, first of all. But B, even if that was true, you've taken them at their best, even if that was true, think of what they're saying. It's okay for 6 or 7 or 8 months for people to be tortured, for the Guantanamo horrors to continue. That's what's being institutionalized right now. I mean, these things, to say that that's okay for a week, to make that's a deal with the devil, and it's a losing deal with the devil, and it's the kind of thing where you sell your soul and you don't come back. And I just think that is not something that people can go for. And right now, the only moral place to be is to be out on the phone all weekend, out on the street, taking flights to the movies, wherever you're going, and getting people out on the streets on October 5th so that the world can see this from the people here, so that we differentiate ourselves and say, no, this government does not speak for us. It does not represent us, and we have to drive it out. And that's the only way you're going to talk to the youth in Iran, to the youth in Iraq, to the people who are under, their families were buried under rubble, and they're wondering if the only thing that they can do to respond is get down with some reactionary Islamic fundamentalism, which is not an answer. Or are they going to hear, no, there's something else. There's people in the U.S. who are standing against this, and we can do something positive in unity with that over there. And, you know, this is really, I can't even, you know, it's hard to verbalize how great the stakes are, not just for people, you know, the individuals who are even alive today, but for what direction the future of the planet's going to be set in. And I think that these are things that are pivoting right now, and it could go either way. And we have a lot to say about that. And everybody listening has a lot to say about that. And so this is worth it, you know, for 5 days to go all out to move people.
Absolutely. Now, folks can get hooked up with World Can't Wait by going to?
Oh, you can come to worldcantwait.org. And I'm going to find you a phone number. It's worldcantwait.org online. And I swear I have a phone. Here we go. 866-973-4463. And again, that's 866-973-4463, and that's toll free.
Sansara, one last question. You know, I guess the only last thing that I would want to know is, are there any plans in place for anything going out into the future?
Yes, definitely. Well, one of the things that we're planning on doing, and this is a very good and it's an important question. I'm glad you asked me that before we got off the air. We're not planning a protest and then everybody goes home and goes back to their normal routines. We're trying to, by manifesting on one day, we actually want to puncture this atmosphere that's suffocating and stifling and give some initiative to all those who want to challenge this. We do have some discussion going on our steering committee and with other member organizations about what are our next steps, but certainly we're holding mass meetings all across the country the week after the protest, so that we come together nationwide and plan our next steps, because this has actually got to step up on our end. There's been a lot of discussion about doing nationwide teach-ins, so that off of this new momentum, what we anticipate is we manifest on the 5th, we set some different political terms, we wake some people up, we give some initiative to the people who say, no, we don't want to live in a theocracy or a new Rome. And then off of that, we do some concentrated education to people so that they really are steeped in. A lot of people really, they know that some things are wrong, but they don't really know how wrong and how deep it goes and how structurally things have changed and what the full implications of this are, because they're not in effect yet. So we want people to understand that, and then certainly we're going to plan another level of nationwide mobilizations. I think if you envision what kind of a political situation, what kind of a people we need to force, to drive this administration out of power, I think you have to envision something, not, you know, just to get in the same imaginative space, something more like what we were seeing in Mexico, you know, where the whole of the country is being jammed up by protest, by people who refuse to go home, by people who are taking history into their own hands, and millions of them. And ultimately, we need millions of people in motion. So that's what we're aiming to get towards.
Okay. Well, Sansara, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. And I'm really looking forward to this on the 5th. And as things go forward, you know, stay in touch. And you know, I'd love to talk with you again. Perhaps we can get somebody on before the 5th to talk about some local, maybe some local members from somewhere who can get on and tell us about what they have planned.
Okay, great. I will definitely help you to arrange, but I know they would love to do that. So thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure, Bruce.
It is, and it's great to talk with you again, and I look forward to seeing you sometime real soon.
Yeah, good. Okay, take care.
Okay, have a great afternoon and a great weekend. And that was Sansara Taylor of World Can't Wait. You can visit them online, worldcantwait.org, worldcantwait.org. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. We'll be right back, and we'll take your phone calls right here on the Head On Radio Network simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
I'm Sarah Rich. My daughter, Suzanne Swift, is an Iraq combat veteran who was sexually harassed and abused while she was deployed in Iraq by her superior officers. The Bush regime is remaking the world in a disastrous way for generations to come. On October 5th, march through the streets, walk out of school, refuse to work, and don't shop. To bring the war, the torture, the abuse of our military, the whole Bush program to a halt, we must act now to drive out the Bush regime. October 5th, be there. WorldCan'tWait.org, 866-973-4463. It can be done.
This is Ed Asner. Face it, the Bush regime is remaking the world in a disastrous way for generations to come. Denial won't help. The Democrats aren't stopping this. But we must, and we can. There are millions of us. October 5th, march through the streets, walk out of school, refuse to work, and don't shop. To bring the war, the torture, the denial of abortion rights, the whole Bush program to a halt, we must act now to drive out the Bush regime. It can be done. October 5th. Be there.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. If you want to get in on the show, we got about 25 minutes. I know I've stacked and packed the interviews in this afternoon, but I really wanted to give you some momentum going into the weekend about what you can do to help remove this criminal administration. You know, we still can do it, folks, and I strongly encourage you, as our good friend Sansara Taylor mentioned a few minutes ago. Go to worldcan'twait.net. See if there is a local event going on near you. If there is, hook up with the people there. See if they could use any help putting it together. Now, if you want to get in on the phone today, you can. We got about 25 minutes left in the show. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. Let's go straight over to Arbortender, line 2. Arbortender, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing as well as can be expected, I think. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm feeling much better now.
You know, I'm feeling empowered today. Yesterday Good. Was kind of pretty much a bummer, but I've just been kind of familiarizing myself with this World Can't Wait protest deal. It so happens it's coincident that you happen to have her on the show today, because I got an email this morning from this gal over in Ventura County who was looking to organize a day of resistance engaged with this World Can't Wait protest on October 5th. And so just in the last couple of hours, we've been able to put together several speakers in an area that does not have a World Can't Wait chapter, and a pretty substantial piece of movement right here. And I just want to encourage everybody else to sort of pick up the ball and do that too, in particular if you don't have one going on in your area. We've got something put together now for a protest in front of the Ventura County Government Center from 12 o'clock noon on into the night on October 5th at the corner of Victoria Avenue and Telephone Road. It's pretty much impromptu, but the World Can't Wait organization has got a lot of materials put together and a lot of good ideas put together. And if people will just go to the website and check out what's happening in surrounding areas, like, for example, Los Angeles, we're getting a lot of ideas just from the various different announcements that are put together for the various different areas where this is being organized. In Los Angeles, they got organized a little sooner, but they're going to be having a whole march from the Pershing Square all the way to the downtown Federal Building. They're going to be wrapping the Federal Building with yellow crime tape. They've got people from Code Pink there. Women for Peace there. They've got a variety of different speakers. Parents of soldiers who are refusing to fight in the war. There's all kinds of phone calls that can be made and people that can be brought together, even with just a couple of weeks to put it together. And I just want to encourage everybody, if you're not engaged with one of these events, get engaged with one of these events. And let's make it something big so that a voice can be heard, and get the press releases out, and let's make this a big deal.
Well, you know, and thank you, Arbor Tender. And I guess one of the things that I wanted to mention is I was involved and fairly still loosely involved with the local group here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And, we have been doing events since November 2nd was our, election day was the last. Well, I mean, we've been doing them for a while. Anyway, point being is that, there wasn't a so-called World Can't Wait movement here, and a bunch of people got together and just sort of created one. And it sounds like to me that that's exactly what you've done.
There's a bunch of people standing by ready to jump on this very important mission. There's a lot of people, and anybody who's listening, I guarantee you there's people in your community standing by waiting for somebody to pick up that ball. Pick up the ball.
Pick up the ball, and absolutely. You know, another great thing, another great way to get the word out within the community is through local blogs. I don't know if, here in Greensboro, there's a very, very, very active blogging community,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if, I don't know how active around the country, obviously. I'm sure most cities are fairly active these days. If you decide you want to do this and there's not an event locally, one of the ways you can get the word out to like-minded folks is to, join the local blog aggregator and create a blog, create a local World Can't Wait blog, and start posting event details and, a contact number or whatever. And I'm sure that within no time at all, you'll have folks who will jump on board because Sansara mentioned it, Arbor Tender. She mentioned it earlier. While the bill's passage yesterday is absolutely an atrocity upon our nation, on the same token, the October 5th protest could not have been timed any better as an outlet for people's outrage. And I think that it serves a dual purpose. For me, the first purpose is to get people out in the street and to be a visible opposition to the Bush cabal. And the second thing is to give people that outlet for their outrage, because we need, if we bottle it up, what's going to happen? We got to let it out somehow. And this seems like the best way in the short term to do it anyway.
I think it's a good thing, and you're right. If this stuff is bottled up, dangerous things are going to happen, and dangerous things are happening right now. This time, and we're going to find people across the political spectrum are going to be crossing on this issue alone. This detainee torture issue. I don't have to say it. It's been said so many times. This is major. This is the future of our nation and where we're going to go as a culture. What we are willing to force our children to endure as a culture, it's huge. And I think if people can't rally around anything else, by God, they sure better be able to rally around whether or not the American nation tortures suspects.
And whether they can snatch us off, they can even snatch us citizens. And this is not me, of course, like I said yesterday, I care about citizens everywhere around the world, but they've brought it home. The Bush crime family has brought it home to us. They can snatch you or me off the street, detain us indefinitely because of, and not even show us what charges or what evidence there is. It is absolutely repugnant.
It's not the country I grew up in.
No, it's not the country I grew up in either. So, absolutely.
Thank you for the show and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Arbitrator, and thank you for calling in this afternoon. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You bet. You too.
Okay. And that was our good friend Arbitrator. And joining us also on the telephone is our good friend Sarge from Southern Mississippi. Sarge, my friend, how are you today?
A little drained, but other than that, ready to fight some more.
There you go. There you go. That's the spirit, my friend. That's the spirit. What's on your mind today?
Let me mention something here. Anybody who has any planned protest or any kind of demonstrations that they want to get out, they are more than welcome to contact me either by the powersandmorrison.com hotline, which is on our index page, or they can email me. But we would be more than willing to announce what's going on. And during the protest, if someone has a cell phone, they can keep me updated on our 800 number. And we will certainly see that everybody knows what's going on that we can possibly reach.
That's fantastic to offer that. Are you guys going to like set up a calendar kind of page, or is there something that like a page you're going to set up that will list all of these events? Because I'm sure you're going to be besieged, man.
Well, we can do it several different ways. We can put it on our message board. We can set up a special section, but whatever it takes, that's what we're willing to do, because Powers and Morrison is committed to bringing this country back to where it should be. I was just telling Kosak that before you go into combat, you kind of have this feeling. You say, well, they have taken us just as far as they can take us now. There's nothing more they can do to us, because now they put us out there where we can get killed. And so, I mean, what more can they do to us now? They've done it all. And that's the way I feel about this bill yesterday. What they did was they just made us, on the left, non-citizens. And we have been taken out of this country. So now it's a matter of, hey, you've taken us as far as we're going to go, and we're just not going to lay down and take it.
My sentiments exactly, my friend. My sentiments exactly. You know, Sarge, I just wanted to say, and you know, I don't know that I say it enough, you guys are doing a fantastic job over at powersandmorrison.com, and I just want to commend you and all of the folks who blog over there, Freckles and you know, just everyone. Phil, I've got an email that I wanted to read today from Phil down in Florida. I mean, you know, you guys are on the front lines every day, and I just want to, you know, I think it's fantastic, the community that you built, and that is where the win is going to happen in this country. It's going to happen because of grassroots efforts, precisely like what you guys have got going on. So,
well,
man,
let me say this. We united with Horn because we believe Horn to be the voice of liberal America, and we totally support Horn. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say something here, but we are spearheading a drive to try and raise enough money to where we can support Mike Malloy and get him added to the Horn lineup. I have talked with Kathy via email, and she said that they are more than open to the idea. So if nothing is confirmed before then, they will indeed consider it. And I think it would be great, because Horn has the best liberal voices I know of around. And you just add one more great one like Mike Malloy to it, and we can start making some changes, because we've got to have more liberal voices. There is not enough of them on the airwaves. And I totally endorse Horn. And Bob Kincaid, to me, you, Bob, and Guy, and all of you are right up there with Mike. I don't put Mike ahead of y'all at all. I think every one of you is a key weapon in the battle against this fascism.
Thank you. That's a very high compliment, Sarge, and I absolutely appreciate that, my friend.
But we totally love you guys at Powers and Morrison, and we give you our complete and total support. And I'm going to get off and let you go from here, because you hadn't had much time for callers.
Well, thank you, Sarge. And, my friend, it's good to hear that you're back in better spirits today. And yep, it's going to take that. You know, we're going to have our temporary setbacks, but we have to keep moving forward. And so I appreciate
your
call.
We're going to win.
Absolutely.
I'll see you, Bruce. Bye-bye.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Sarge. And that's our good friend, Sarge, from Southern Mississippi. On the line. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, And when we come back, we'll bring this bird down for a landing. You are listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
Symbols of democracy pinned up against the coast. Our house of bureaucracy surrounded by moats. Citizens of poverty are barely out of sight. The overlords escape near evening, the people on the night. Morning brings the tourists, painting eyes and rubber necks. Perhaps a glimpse of the cowboy making the world a nervous wreck.
This is Ed Asner. Face it, the Bush regime is remaking the world in a disastrous way for generations to come. Denial won't help. The Democrats aren't stopping this. But we must, and we can. There are millions of us. October 5th, march through the streets, walk out of school, refuse to work, and don't shop. To bring the war, the torture, the denial of abortion rights, the whole Bush program to a halt, we must act now to drive out the Bush regime. It can be done. October 5th, be there.
What's Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is Head On with Bob Kincaid.
The only hope that George Bush had after he raped the Treasury, after he ripped us off, the only hope he had for balancing out the amount of a bad paper that he had to go and hang in China was to take control of the means by which China would receive oil. Iraq is one of the faucets. The other faucet is Iran. If he can control those two things, he can continue to hang bad paper on China, and on the other end, act as the dealer outside the schoolyard to China's little junkie. Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense, but I haven't heard it said in that concise a manner. Nobody has made the loop so small that everybody can realize.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, only at headonradionetwork.com and radiopower.org.
I'm Sarah Rich. My daughter, Suzanne Swift, is an Iraq combat veteran who was sexually harassed and abused while she was deployed in Iraq by her superior officers. The Bush regime is remaking the world in a disastrous way for generations to come. On October 5th, march through the streets, walk out of school, refuse to work, and don't shop. To bring the war, the torture, the abuse of our military, the whole Bush program to a halt, we must act now to drive out the Bush regime. October 5th, be there. WorldCan'tWait.org, 866-973-4463. It can be done.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Back on the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's 52 minutes past the hour. Glad to be back. We got about 8 minutes left in the program. I don't see anyone in the queue, so I'm just going to go ahead and we'll finish this thing on out. But I just, you know, today I had the idea in mind. It's kind of interesting how things turn out the way they turn out, and you know, and getting into the I don't want to get into how I prepare for a show or how I put together a show. But oftentimes through the show, it's important to let the show be what it's going to be, and it's important to allow it to progress the way it's going to progress and to turn out and turn into something that it's supposed that it's supposed to be. I mean, I kind of operate from that paradigm that as we go through the show, you know, it is important to allow for something to be created where before there was nothing. And that's the creative part of this endeavor that I do. And you add to that. And not only do you add to that, but you are that creative endeavor. You know, by calling into the show and by being a part of this program, you as a caller or a guest or whoever, producers, all of you folks, you know, you contribute to a wonderful thing. And this wonderful thing is called, you know, it's called a radio program. But the biggest thing is that, you know, you're creating something where there wasn't anything before. And that is, in my view, and in my understanding, and in my, you know, basic feeling about things, is that is the crux of what being a progressive is about. It's about treading on new ground. It's about trying, not looking backwards, and not being draconian, and not being punitive. It's about honoring and respecting. It's about creating. It's about trying to find new ways to do things when we know that the old ways don't work. It's about moving forward. Yesterday, you know, we all, and myself included, we got very wound up over a bill, and Sansara Taylor succinctly put it perfectly. She put it perfectly, wherein this was the first time in the history of mankind, you know, and womankind, where, you know, a bill was enacted. I mean, even Hitler didn't come out and admit that he had secret prisons where he was holding thousands of people and torturing them. And this president has. Does that give you any indication of where we are? And, you know, we got very wound up over that yesterday. But I want to make one thing very clear, is that we are progressives. And it is our nature to move forward. It is our nature to strive to find a new way to do things. It is within our nature to try to create rather than tear down. That is what makes us who we are, is we seek to create, not to tear down. If I could leave you with any thought over the weekend, it would be that. It would be exactly that. You know, I from time to time try to do something inspiring, and I certainly hope that today, you know, that was my intent today, was for us to move past what happened yesterday with the understanding that yes, it could happen, and yes, it did happen, and yes, we have to create a new way. We have to create perhaps a third way. And not fall back on the same old stuff of reactionary politics, and perhaps move forward in a proactive way. And we'll talk about that some on Monday and perhaps even on Tuesday. I think, you know, I mentioned earlier in the program about how I want to do a couple of shows where we talk about a paradigm shift in how we're dealing with being progressives and how we are dealing with politics. We've been a very reactionary bunch for the last 5 years. It's time to change that. It's time to move, to pick up and be progressive, not regressive. You know, it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey for me in this show today, and I really appreciate you all joining me in this little walk down the progressive path. Zach Revich is my producer. Thank you very much, Zach. You did a fantastic job today, my friend. I'd also like to thank our good friend John Fox for being the announcer of this radio program, the chief engineer for the Head On Radio Network. Also would like to thank Peter Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida. Liberal me! He's a great guy, and he does a wonderful job for us. Gene, our Head On Headlines news ninja. Hi-ya! Thank you, Gene, for all that you do and doing all of our posts. You rock, man. Simply, you rock. Ben Birch of the White Rose Society, no relation to me, manages the stream and the archives of this show and all of the radio shows on the Head On Radio Network. He is fantastic. Go drop him a few bucks if you can, if you get the opportunity. Shelby LePre at radiopower.org. She, again, rocks, and yeah, just amazing. And she's our streaming partner. Thank you so much, Shelby, for everything that you do. And last but not least, the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream, and they're supporting this network, and they're helping us to take back America from the scoundrels who have taken it away from us. And listeners, thank you for joining me today on this little path of progressive thought. And remember, folks, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you Monday.
Smiled and cried after the revolution. Prison doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the
Quality News Network. In Wisconsin, a ninth grader shot and killed his principal at a rural high school this morning. Just before the start of classes, the 15-year-old has been taken into custody. It's the second gun-related incident this week following Wednesday's death of a teen girl at a high school in Colorado. The Senate has approved $70 billion more to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's part of a $448 billion record-high Pentagon budget. The House passed the bill earlier this week. It's now headed to President Bush's desk for his signature. Author Bob Woodward has come out with a new book. In it, he says President Bush's advisors frequently dismissed the assessment made by top U.S. military commanders in Iraq as too pessimistic. The book also says two efforts to remove Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld from his position were overruled by President Bush. Florida Representative Mark Foley submitted his resignation letter, says he's dropping his re-election bid. That follows the revelation of some emails he sent to a 16-year-old former Capitol Hill Mail page. In Washington, a new congressional report from a bipartisan congressional committee has been released. It says convicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff or his associates visited the White House 500 times, often meeting with President Bush's top political advisor, Karl Rove. On Capitol Hill, House and Senate negotiators agreed on a port security bill. It requires that radiation detectors be installed at the country's major ports and authorizes spending more than $3 billion on port security over the next 5 years. In Baghdad, the brother-in-law of the new judge in Saddam Hussein's genocide trial was shot to death. His son was also wounded in that shooting. However, it's not known whether the shooting is related to the trial. The deputy leader of al-Qaeda released a new video on the Internet today. In it, Ayman al-Zawahiri calls President Bush a failure and a liar and called him a charlatan. In Baghdad, officials have found another 25 tortured bodies, bringing the total since Sunday to nearly 150. In addition, at least 11 civilians were wounded today in a roadside